Our message for today is one of those messages that, believe it or not, I grew up with that message. Since I was maybe like, when, since I remember, since I have conscious, like maybe when I was, I'd probably say 5 years old, you know, I heard this message. And this is a message that identifies the remnant church. This is a message that identifies, you know, the people of God. Because we know that we're coming to the end. Yes? Are we near the end? We are. We are at the end of times. And believe it or not, sometimes we take it for granted. You know, we read the scriptures. We read the Holy Bible. We read all the signs. We read all the warnings. We read everything, including what we need to do for these kind of times. But for some reason, we fall asleep. But most of the time, what we do is we get frightened. And guess what? Some people, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear this kind of message. They don't want to hear that the end is near. They don't want to hear that all these things are going to happen. Why? Because most likely, they're happy living in this kind of world. But nonetheless, my brothers and sisters, as Christians, as sons and daughters of the Lord, we need to embrace this kind of message to keep that hope. But not just to keep the hope, but also to share with others. Because Jesus not only loves you that come every Sabbath, that come to worship with others, but also God loves those because He also wants to save them. Amen? But more importantly, God has you to use you as an instrument, as a messenger, so that we could go and tell the world that there is hope. Amen? Because there is hope. And that hope comes from above. That hope comes from Jesus. Let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit in a way to help us understand. And I know this is a message that you have heard so many times, but I just hope that God will impress in your hearts and in your minds that you reach out for life. Amen? Because we all need to reach out for life. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Sabbath that you have given us. Lord, thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have to come together to worship our Lord and Savior, to worship Jesus, to worship our Creator. Father, I want to also thank you for all the people that you have brought them here today so that you, in your power, Father, that you may also impress in their hearts so that way they find what they've been seeking for. Thank you, Father, and as we spend time in your Holy Scripture, as we spend time reading and learning about the things that you have, the blessings that you want us to have this morning, Father, please allow the Holy Spirit to clear our minds, to open the doors of our hearts, so that way we could treasure this message, but mostly that this will be a wake-up call for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my brothers and sisters, in one way or another, you and I, believe it or not, we need to reach out for life. People are running from one place to the other, seeking maybe hope, seeking maybe a resolution, seeking maybe peace, seeking maybe happiness, but there is no way, or there is nowhere, or at least in the places that they're seeking, they can't find it. But as Christians, we know where to find it. Amen? We know where to find it. In the world, my brothers and sisters, believe it or not, they're confused. That's how we are. We are confused, right? We are very confused. As a matter of fact, we don't know for sure where our nation, where our country is going to be tomorrow. We have no idea. Yes, we trust in man, we trust in the leaders of this nation, but at the same time, we realize that we can't trust no more. Because they seem to be more confused. And we don't know what could happen. And our generation has, believe it or not, missed the focus point. Our generation on these days, believe it or not, they're not even conscious where they stand, where they ought. And they don't even know where to go because they're trying to find out where their destiny is. But they're confused. They have no idea any longer. See, many of us, believe it or not, find ourselves in that same position. Just as the sad dog, lonely, sitting there in a cage, waiting in the airport, confused, frightened, not knowing what is going to happen. But as the dogs wait, the travelers, the walk, you know, around the airport, one or a few of them reach out maybe to some of the workers in the airport and ask, what's wrong with the dog? Why is he looking so frightening? Why is he so fearful? And one of those workers, a friendly worker, responded and said, well, you see, the dog has shoo off his destination label. And now doesn't know where he come from. And even worse, he doesn't know where he's going to. My brothers and sisters, you and I, we might be in the same situation. In a way, we probably have lost our way. We don't know where to go. Maybe because we've been so busy, maybe because we've been so attracted to the things of this world, maybe we also shoo off our label, where we come from, but most importantly, we have lost where our destination is going to be. See the nuclear threat that we have, the overpopulation, the starvation threat, the civil disobedience and commotion, the family and sex crisis, disasters, earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, disease, excessive wealth, and even poverty, racism. It is a grisly old world that we live in. And for a for a moment, we pause and we think that these things are going to get better. But deep in our heart, we know for sure that these things are not going to get better. These things are going to get worse. Because we know for a fact, my brothers and sisters, that this world is coming to an end. Life has never looked so bleak to a generation, and even with our youth. Our youth seems to be more confused than ever. We thought that our new generation that was coming, we thought that they were going to make a difference. But it's just a matter of us looking around and see what's happening, what our youth are actually doing. The youth that in a way we put our trust in are the youth that basically are destroying our societies. All values, my brothers and sisters, are unsettled. All norms are broken. Mental, moral, social, everything that we see. All those values that hold us together one way or another has been distorted, has been disintegrated. And we don't know what will happen tomorrow. And as we see all these things, questions come in our mind. Just like the little boy, that when his mother tucked him in his bed at night, he asked, "Mom, are you going to leave me here by myself? Are you going to leave me here alone?" But Mom replied and said, "No, you're not alone, because God is here with you." But the little boy replied and said, "Yes, I know God is here with me, but I want to see someone with a face." My brothers and sisters, that is why now we understand why God and His provident love and mercy, He sent His only begotten Son, because He knew those kind of things were going to happen. He knew that we needed someone. He knew that we needed to see someone that actually will give us hope. God knew it. And that's why in the Bible we find that the only way for a resolution, the only way to solve our problem, the only way to save this world is called Jesus. Amen. Look at what the Bible said in John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and what? And life. No one comes to the Father except through me." My brothers and sisters, only in Christ and His gospel is there life and hope for a doomed generation. Only in Jesus. Only Jesus holds the hope for this generation. Only Jesus holds salvation. And it is only through Him that this world could find peace. That this world, my brothers and sisters, will find that solution. John 1:4, it says, "In Him was life, and the life was" what? "The light of man." Yes, my brothers and sisters, we know this as Christians. Because even before you were converted, even before you God convicted you, you understood, you knew that Jesus was the only way. Jesus was the light. Jesus was the truth. And Jesus was life. And we know for a matter of fact that it is only through Jesus that you and I could also seek and gain salvation. Amen. And praise be to God. Because at least we have Jesus. You see, almost 2,000 years had passed since God introduced this news to the world. Many, many years, my brothers and sisters. And even until this day, God still infuses in people's life that Jesus is the way. Christ is our way of salvation. Jesus did not come too soon, as we think. Men have ignored him too long. He is the universal Christ. He belongs to all people and to all generations. The past, the present, and the future are in Jesus' hand. Amen. Jesus looked forward, my brothers and sisters, to a generation that will stand for him. Jesus is looking forward for those faithful. Jesus is looking forward for those that are going to stand alongside with him. Jesus is looking forward for people that are willing, but not just willing, that are committed in a way to be the light of the world. See, Jesus explained it this way in Matthew chapter 24, 37 and 39. But as the day of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. How do we know this, my brothers and sisters? Because the Bible says it. Amen? Because it is there in the scripture. It says, my brothers and sisters, that just like the days of Noah, those things are going to happen in the end. Those things are going to happen before the Son of Man returns. Just as the days of Noah. So what was happening, my brothers and sisters? What does the Bible tell us that was happening on the day of Noah? Let's just revise a little bit what those kind of things that were happening back then. The first thing that we know for a fact that the Bible tells us is that in the day of Noah, there was a population explosion. Isn't that happen in our days now? Is it happening or not? Yes, my brothers and sisters. Look at what the Bible said. Now it came to pass, and this is Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. That was happening, my brothers and sisters. Many years ago. And it's happening now. Yes, we are multiplying. You know, Alfred Renwinkel, you know, he wrote, the one who wrote the book, The Flood, he declares that it is reasonable to assume that the population in Noah's day was at least equal to the population of the world today. It was equal. There was sufficient time for such an increase in population, my brothers and sisters, believe it or not, in that time. And the physical conditions conducive to population growth were more favorable. There can be no doubt that the population figures of this modern generation of ours have, like Noah's, reached the danger level. So my brothers and sisters, the same thing that was happening back then in Noah's time, believe it or not, is happening these days too. Look around us. Look around the world. What's going on? What's happening? The future appears gloomier and gloomier. Yes or no? If man doesn't come out with a solution, the problem will solve itself in wholesale starvation. And that's what we're seeing. See, the 20th century began with 1.6 billion people on the earth. Now we have 7 billion. See how rapidly, my brothers and sisters, we have multiplied. Feeding then all will be a tougher job than gently landing men on the moon and bringing them back with color movies. And I'm just talking about, my brothers and sisters, these are people that are starving now. And it was happening back then, in the days of Noah. 200 years from now, and that's not such a long time with our expanding lifespan, my brothers and sisters, there will be 150 billion of us clawing one another for standing rooms. If man of God doesn't do something, my brothers and sisters, soon, very soon, we all are going to starve. But as the day of the Noah were so, also will the coming of the Son of Man. But overpopulation wasn't just an issue back then, because there was social crisis. And if I were to ask you, do we have social crisis these days? Do we? Yes, my brothers and sisters. Look what the Bible said. The Son of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wife for themselves, all of whom they choose. So what does this mean, my brothers and sisters? See, these sons of God, which were the godly children of Seth, married the daughters of men, which were the godless Canaanites at that time. Because of these mixed marriages between the godly and the godless, the human race degenerated, and family problems become more and more obvious. What does this mean, my brothers and sisters? Yes, that during the times of Noah, there were those faithful people, those that actually served the Lord, that even mingled, that got together and got married with people that were not of the faith. And what happens, my brothers and sisters? Because believe it or not, the Bible even encourages us not to get together with those, or at least marry with those that are not of the same faith. Why? And this crisis, my brothers and sisters, will continue. And we know all these things will continue happening until the Son of Man will return. Jesus summarizes the problem in the words, marrying and giving in marriage. While we are given little details of the nature of the social system of Noah's day, or the facts leading to its breakdown, it is abundantly clear that in this area of home, family, and sex lay a major portion of the pre-flood problem. Jesus said it will be like that down in the end of time. Is it happening these days? Yes, my brothers and sisters, it's happening. Did you see a statistic show us the divorce rate had gone higher, and it goes higher and higher by day, believe it or not? Because we have lost the moral value, just like at the days of Noah. We lost that. Today, if you go, for instance, to Las Vegas, Nevada, there's a reason why they call it Sin City, right? Every day, my brothers and sisters over there, someone meets someone, 5 minutes they know each other, and guess what? They're getting married. And 48 hours later, what happened? They're getting divorced. We had lost that, my brothers and sisters. We lost that. We had lost that value. Our immorality had increased day by day. People may ask what time it is. We are at the time of the end. That's what the Bible says, my brothers and sisters. We are at that time where people don't care no more. Family values are gone to the drain. Social values doesn't exist any longer. Respect for one another is gone. Children don't even respect and honor parents. Parents don't even honor and respect children. And so on, my brothers and sisters. You know, we come to those times that man even fulfill himself by just looking on the screen. Something that we were not intended to by our creation. But guess what? Men feel that that is more satisfying than what God had constituted since the beginning of time. And we see this happening day by day. Someone said, exposed by the news and entertainment media to nudity. He said, all these things, pornography, homosexuality, incest, free love, and pregnant teenagers, we may very easily fail to recognize it for what it is. There can be no questions. It is a sign of the times. It is like being in the times where Noah was living. It is almost the times, the day of Noah. The family unit in Western society has been seriously shaken. Working women changing sex roles, as well as the pill and the and abortions rate, all, believe it or not, weaken the traditional family structure. The result is that while people are marrying one more, they are enjoying it the more. Disintegration in families and marriage there is. Far too many are, my brothers and sisters, raising their voice. Along with the new sexual freedoms, the decade has produced an alarming increase. All this has become an epidemic. But the Word of God said, as the day of Noah were, so also will be the time of the Son of Man. But besides that, besides the overpopulation, besides social crisis, besides losing all those values, my brothers and sisters, there was another thing that was happening during the days of Noah, great wickedness. It was going on. Look at what the Bible said. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. And it didn't stop, because the Word of God said that it what? It continued. It continued. And up until this day, my brothers and sisters, there is still great wickedness. Crime, immorality, which ate out the soul of every individual. And even those that, that in a way still say that they love God. Race riots, political assassination, mass murders, sniper killing, innocent passenger by terror on the street, all are the signs of deeply disturbed society. This world is wicked, my brothers and sisters. The countries are daily encountering violence that has made crime and law enforcement a political issue. And they don't know how to go about it. They don't know how to resolve it. And instead of coming together to be able to bring a resolution, all these issues, my brothers and sisters, are setting us apart and apart, to the point that those people that are still good, they become, in a way, accustomed to and used to, and in one way or another, guess what? They also will become wicked. But we know this, what's going to happen, my brothers and sisters. Christ, in the answer to our modern crime and immorality problem, but for our present purpose, we point out that it is further demonstration that we have reached those times which Jesus said will parallel to the days of Noah, the time of the end. But as the day of Noah, worse also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of thought of his heart was only evil. And it will remain like that until the end. But there was something else happening during the time of Noah. Corruption and pollution. As we gaze again on the protocol, as we notice happening during the time of Noah, we realize, we come to a realization that these things are also happening during these days. Is there corruption? How about pollution? Genesis chapter 6:11 refers to this. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with what? Is this happening these days? Is it happening now? It is happening, my brothers and sisters. Every day. In the Bible, but the Bible actually, prophecy predicted a time will come when God will be obligated to step in. And what do you think God's solution is? How can this come to an end? See, Revelation chapter 11, verse 18 says that God will what? Destroy those who destroy what? The earth. There is no solution. Man doesn't have a solution, my brothers and sisters. And that's what the Bible tells us. And the only solution that God has is to destroy those that actually destroy this earth. Because there is evil on them. The planet Earth is sick, very sick, my brothers and sisters. The symptoms, one says, of this planet disease are all around us. In our air, our water, even in our food. Some scientists feel that disease may already have progressed too far. But before our modern era of advanced technology, The earth seems to have been open to absorb men's insults. But 20th century, man has acquired such additional capacity to tamper with this environmental that he threatens to destroy it. Another scientific advisor quote the following: "It is our whole planet that is in danger of deterioration. Surely mankind has reached a turning point in history. He must do something now to reverse it's actually destroying our environment, or else our children and grandchildren will find the earth quiet, a place that they cannot live any longer, and it will even be increasingly more unpleasant and unhealthy for us." See, men have realized that. Men knows, my brothers and sisters, that it is just like the time of Noah. It is just like the days of Noah. These things are happening. Man is destroying this earth. And we know. But we care not to do anything about it. You see, for those that love technology, I read in this article that back in 1968, the Apollo 8 crew members made an interesting observation on their round-trip mission to the moon in December 1968. They noticed it was easy to spot Los Angeles from hundreds of miles out in the space. They located by observing the large blanket of smog hovering over the Southern California metropolis. In a Los Angeles school playground, a sign appeared that says, "Warning, do not exercise or breathe too deeply during heavy smog conditions." In Tokyo, Japan, school children sometimes have to wear masks on smoggy days. Traffic police in certain areas of Tokyo must take even oxygen breaks to keep from being overwhelmed by all these toxins, fumes. Now, thinking of man pollution, my brothers and sisters, the atmosphere of this earth is being destroyed. Now we don't know what we're breathing. Yes, we thought that secondhand smoke was going to kill us. Yes, we thought that toxic gas was going to kill us. But my brothers and sisters, will this mark the end of the world? Sometimes we said, "Oh yes, let's go to nature. Let's go to the forest." But even in the forest has even been contaminated. So there is no more fresh air. And those who know the Word of God are convinced that these times are near. Matthew chapter 24, 37, once again, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, and will remain evil until the end." But how about violence and crime? Was there violence and crimes in the days of Noah? Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters. There was. Genesis 6:11 says, and the earth was filled with what? With violence. And it remains until these days. Violence everywhere. People don't respect the life of others any longer. Man doesn't respect woman. And women don't even respect men any longer. Women used to complain, right? Look at what happened in the news. What is it that you call the rapist? The Golden State Rapist? Even the title. Now, you might have to sleep beside your daughters or your wife, maybe with a rifle in your hands, because you don't know who's going to walk or who's going to come in through your window or through your window's door. You can't even walk along on the streets any longer. You might not be able even to come to church any longer, because it even happens in church. Violence. People worshiping the Lord in churches. Now people are frightened. They're scared because they don't know if someone is going to walk through those doors. With the evil heart and kill everyone. But just as the days of Noah, the Bible says, those things are going to happen in the end of time. How many people have died, my brothers and sisters? How many people have died? How many people will die? But the waste of human life is not confined to the battlefield. You know, a statistic tells us that in the last year, the national rate of criminal homicide for 1 million population increased 36%. The rate of rape increased by 65%. Assault increased by 67%. Robbery, 119%. And so on, and so on. Says the violent crime in the cities is concentrated especially among youth between the ages of 15 and 24. My brothers and sisters, and this is even true as today. But as the day of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil. But how about materialism? Is that a problem today? Look at what the Bible says in Luke chapter 17, 26 through 30. And as if it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, but on the day of Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. My brothers and sisters, just remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. What was happening there. And just as what happened there, it will happen in our days. My question to you is, what should we do? What are you going to do? This lack of spiritual power led the human race in Noah's day to be corrupted to the point that God had no other choice but to destroy those. And it will happen again, my brothers and sisters. It will happen again. But as the day of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. But praise be to the name of the Lord, that at least those were not the only things that were happening during the days of Noah. There was another thing that was happening during the day of Noah. What do you think that was? There was a message. There was a warning. God, in His love and mercy, raised up Noah and his family so that they could warn the people. Because guess what? God loves us no matter what. No matter how evil we are, no matter how wicked, God still loves us. God still wants to save us. God still wants to save those. But what a powerful message, my brothers and sisters. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. This far you may come, but no farther. And here your prow wave must stop." This overpopulation that brings to starvation, this crisis of social crisis, families dysfunctioning, or dysfunctional family, I should say, crime, violence, all those things, my brothers and sisters, should come to an end. Amen? And that's what the message that we have received. The message is, my brothers and sisters, and God is telling us that those things must stop. Those things must come to an end. We do not know exactly how much time do we have. But praise be to the name of the Lord that we still have time. Time to repent. Time to do something about it. But mostly time to go and share this message of warning to others that this world, that this earth is coming to an end. God is giving us still the time, my brothers and sisters. Look up for life. That is the message. Reach out for life, my brothers and sisters. They didn't know when the flood was going to come, right? During the days of Noah. Noah preached for how many days? For how many years? For how long? And yes, my brothers and sisters, even though people mocked him, even though people made fun of him, he remained faithful to the calling of the Lord. And yes, my brothers and sisters, even if people mock you because you're telling them the end is near, even if people make fun of you, even if people shut the door on your face, God wants you to relay the message that the end is near. Yes, even if your family reject you. Yes, even if you're going to be persecuted. Yes, even if you're going to be killed. God wants you and me to relay this message to others. Just as the days of Noah, my brothers and sisters. It will happen in these days. Reach out for life, my brothers and sisters. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all what? The world. As a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Men's heart failing then from fear and the expectations of those things which are coming on the earth. My brothers and sisters, yes, all those things that were happening in the day of Noah are happening this day. So we know the end is near. But isn't it wonderful to know that yes, all these things are going to happen, but there is no need for all of us to have fear. It is a time in which we need to rejoice. It is a time in which we need to be happy. Guess what? All these things are coming to an end. Do you want to continue suffering? Do you want to continue seeing people suffering? Do you want to continue seeing people starving? Do you want to continue seeing people being killed? Do you want to continue seeing people being raped? No, my brothers and sisters. That's why the message is eternal. That's why the message is important for all of us. And that's why we need to relay this message to those so that they don't fear. Because the end is coming, my brothers and sisters. But the end will come until you and I relay this message to the world. Until you and I relay this message to our families. Until you and I relay this message to our neighbors. And our help comes from above, my brothers and sisters. That's where our help comes from. You know, there was this hunter that while he was hunting, I guess he was distracted in the prey that he didn't realize what was happening in his surrounding. But time passed by and he realized that it was getting so hot. And he looked around and he saw smoke on the far end. And then he saw flames reaching out, waves of flames reaching out like almost like 10 feet above the ground. Of course, he feared, right? He panicked. And he wanted to run to save his life. But he realized he was trapped between the flames and between a cliff. And his thought was, either I jump and die, or I stay and burn. We know, my brothers and sisters, that we're going to die. Because the wages of sins is what? It's death, my brothers and sisters. We know we're going to die. But God, in His mercy, one person that saw what was happening, the one person that was on the other side, he saw that this man was trapped. So he called authorities. And in 5 minutes, there was a helicopter from the air with a rope. The man was able to hold on to the rope. And he was rescued. But he was rescued from where? From above. my brothers and sisters, our rescue comes from above. Our rescue comes from God. And praise be the name to our Lord and Savior. John 14, 3 says, I will come again and receive you to myself. Yes, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming again. It is time for you and I to get up from our comfort zone. It is time for you and I to rise. It is time for you and I to take this message. And it is time for you and I to share this message to others. There is no more time. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It is time to get up. Yes, many of you might say, yes, I spend time. I come to church every Sabbath. Yes, I have Bible studies. Yes, I study with a group. Yes, I pray every day. But if you don't bear fruits, my brothers and sisters, that is worthless. That's what the Bible says. You could spend all your days reading, teaching. You could spend every day praying. But if you don't bear fruits, my brothers and sisters, it's worthless. It is time for you and I to put on our servant's boots and go up there and go to the community and relay this message to all of them. The promises that God will be, Jesus will be until? He will be with us until when? Until the end. So there is no more excuses for us, my brothers and sisters. There is no more excuses. Don't worry about what your brother and your sister is doing. Worry about what you're doing. It's time for you to get up. It's time for you to put the armor of the Lord. He will be with you until the end. If you're shy, He will be with you. If you're afraid, He will be with you. If you don't know what to say, He will be with you. He will be with you until the end. How many of you is ready to stand up for God? How many of you are ready to get this message in your heart, but not just to keep it in your heart, but how many of you is ready to go and share to other people? How many of you will be committed to that, my brothers and sisters? As the days of Noah, Jesus, God raised Noah and his family. And guess what? They were saved. And thanks to that commitment, and thanks to that faithful, we're still here. But Jesus is soon to return, my brothers and sisters. May God find you faithful. May God find you preaching the message to others. How many of you is ready? How many of you want to stand with me and God? Yes, we are a small congregation. We know that. But stop making excuses or saying, oh, we're so little. We're not that many. God used Noah. How many? Noah, one family, my brothers and sisters. As a matter of fact, God, to raise this church, He used it only 4 people. And those 4 people were very young. Because Ellen White was around 14. James White was 21. Joseph Bate was the oldest, that was around 50-something years old. And J.N. Andrews was only 11 years old. And he used them to proclaim the gospel. Amen. Do you want to let God use you? Do you want to let God use you, my brothers and sisters? Don't get discouraged. Because people, they don't want to do anything. Don't get discouraged. Allow God to use you as an instrument of the gospel. Amen? To proclaim the good news. And to tell people, yes, the end is near. This is the time to worship the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for another beautiful Sabbath. Oh, Father, we want to ask, Lord, that in your love, in your mercy, Father, that you embrace us, that you may be in our life, that your message may bring us in a way that could be a wake-up call for all of us, Father, so that we could understand that just at the days of Noah, the soon return of Jesus Christ will be. Father, there is no time. The clock is clicking. Father, we want to ask that you help us in a way that you could, in a way, convict us, Lord. That you could take away all our distraction that this world might present. That you may take away all the fear that we might have. Because we know that the promise is that you will be with us until the end. But we are to proclaim this message, Father. We are to be the light of the world. We are to be the soul of the world, Lord. But we don't know how. But Father, all it takes is for a willing heart to do the work. May that willing heart may be us, Father. Yes, we're a small congregation. Yes, we see people that are leaving. Yes, we see also people that are coming. And we praise you for that, Lord. Father, we ask that we don't let those things to trouble our hearts, Father. That we may concentrate on the divine power of the Lord. That we may become in unity. That we may become one in accord, one in a plan, but one in Jesus Christ. So that we could proclaim this message of eternal hope and salvation. Bless my brothers and sisters. Bless this church. Bless this family. Bless this community, Father. That we all may be faithful to you until the end. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.